transmit it, you know, and maybe on some of that free time, made a contact or two on Earth, that would have been good. On another note, Starship, they plan on launching that thing now in March, although they did have another test failure. One of their rockets that they were getting ready again. So I don't know how severe that is, but they're still planning on March, maybe the end of March, for another launch of the Starship. But, you know, I guess they have high hopes because they got the FAA to actually approve a total of 44 launches per year once they get started from Florida. You know, it's not only a loud blast when they take off. They say it's around 170 dB at a certain distance. I'm not sure what distance it is. But, of course, it's the inverse whale law. That number comes down if you double the distance. So, but anyway, it's going to be a loud blast from Florida once one of these things take off. You know, they know from experience from Boca Chica down in Texas with the other 11 that they've launched. So they know what to expect. I don't know if the people in Florida know what they're getting in for. I hope it's not as bad as it seems. On top of that, let's say if you have 44 launches a year, that means you have the double that amount of sonic booms. And why do I say double the amount? Because you have the main booster that's going up on Starship, and then you have the Starship itself. When they come back down, you know, they're going, you know, supersonic. So there'll be sonic booms on each one as they re-enter the atmosphere and get close to Cape Canaveral. So can you imagine that? You'll have, you know, 44 launches, you know, and you know how loud that could get, and then you're going to have a total of 88 sonic booms as you know, for the year. I don't know. I hope it works out. You know, they say that, you know, the way to, you know, these things are going to enter the atmosphere, it's not going to be too bad. But for some reason, the FAA, I don't know, they seem a little lenient with this. You know, before I would approve that, I would think that they would say, well, let's, you know, launch one or two of these things. Let's see what we're talking about. Right away, just to give them a... the okay on 44 launches. I'm not sure what went on there. But hopefully they get their act together because, you know, NASA's going to need Starship to be complete. And the plan is to use the Starship to use that for an HLS, a human landing system vehicle, you know, to dock with the Orion spacecraft in lunar orbit, go down to the surface, spend a week on surface, come back on, you know, come back up again. They're going to need that. You know, there is a plan B. I mentioned this before, you know, with the New Glenn, that's Blue Origin, you know, from Jeff Bezos fame. They have a lunar lander under development, and they're quite along, coming quite a ways with that. So, you know, I mean, if there were serious delays with Starship, I could picture New Glenn taking over. For, you know, they're supposed to take over, what is it, Artemis 5, 6, you know, those numbers. But 3 and 4 is supposed to be, you know, that would be the first two landing vehicles are supposed to be done by Starship, you know? In the space industry, you never know what's going to happen in the near future. But we're going to wait and see. They're pouring a ton of money into the infrastructure in Florida, building a couple of these launch complexes actually in Florida. they're going to need to launch multiple starships. They want to put one starship up, it's going to a tanker, you know, in orbit, just floating around there, empty in the beginning, and then they're going to have one starship come up after the other, load this thing up with fuel, liquid methane, liquid oxygen, keep it at cryogenic temperatures, and then, you know, eventually when it's all filled up, they're going to actually send the vehicle that's going to land on the moon, go up to Earth orbit, dock with this fuel tank that's now got, you know, filled up with fuel, load the starship up with fuel, send that off to the moon, you know, to do its job for landing on the moon, and then come, and, you know, well, you know, they got a lot of things to check off to be able to do what they're planning. Any comments? WS2M. Okay, nothing hurt. And, a couple more things to talk about. You know, I don't want to talk about all the ice that's on the roof of my house. It's unbelievable. I feel like I'm living in an igloo. It doesn't look like it's going away anytime soon. Anyway, SpaceX does have, you know, a real great experience with launching the Falcon 9 and the Dragon spacecraft. Dragon goes up, I don't know how many times now, for two reasons, two main reasons. One is cargo to the International Space Station. The other one is for crew. Always bring their crew up and back down. And, you know, the last one that came back was Crew 11. And now they're going to have another one go up. I guess that's Crew 12. And you're going to have four astronauts coming up. Jessica Meir, she's been up before. She's been, here, I guess, on the International Space Station. Then you have Jack Hathaway, European Space Agency. He's been up to the space station as well. They'll be going up on the next mission. And Sophie Adonat, she comes out of European Space Agency. She's from France. And then you always have a Russian anytime you have a crew of four going up to the International Space Station on Dragon. And this will be his second mission. So, they plan on going up the 11th. Yeah, Crew 11. Yeah, Crew 12 is going up on the 11th on Falcon 9. So that's coming up very shortly. So you got, you know, a couple of big launches with people. One on the SLS to the moon, and now another one with Crew 4 going to the space station. And Williams will be happy. He's up there, the only American by himself right now flying on the International Space Station. It's just three people right now. He's the only American. The other two are Russians, and that's because Crew 11 had to come back because one of the four people was sick, and they considered an emergency evacuation from the space station. They're all back. We still don't know who was sick, or why they, you know, what the problem was, you know. But I guess maybe someday that will come out. It's up to the astronauts to see information, so they say. But I'm kind of curious, you know, and, you know, find out what it is, and see if they need a diagnostic tool or some kind of a, you know, surgical tool or whatever it takes to fix a problem like that. They're going to need to be able to do that on long duration missions. They plan eventually to send people to, you know, lunar orbit, for instance, on a Gateway space station for maybe a month or two at a time. People on the moon, long period flights. Forget about Mars. You're looking at that possibility of 3-year missions. You know, you're going to need all kinds of equipment, and they better send a surgeon or somebody. You know, maybe two surgeons, just in case there's a problem with one of them. I don't know. A lot of fun things to look forward to. Any comments? WS2S. I did hear a station, but very noisy. Try again, please.
Yeah, they were having norovirus.
I hear you in there, but I'm not sure what you're saying. I'm getting like 5% of what you're saying. Can you move your antenna around? Boost the power, or do anything to improve the signal. I'm not sure if you're mobile. That would be pretty much easy fix if you could drive to a mountaintop. But pretty noisy. Try again, please. WS2N. Okay, negative copy, but, thanks for trying. We'll be here for a little bit longer. Not much longer. The Vulcan rocket is going to be launched also very shortly. I think that's the next day, right after the flight of the Falcon 9 with a crew of four. You're going to have a Vulcan rocket launch without a crew. Although Vulcan is actually designed to be able to support crewed flights. So it's a very successful rocket so far. It's only flown 3 times, and this will be the 4th time. And this is the one that replaced the Delta IV rocket. It's going to replace the Atlas V, which is over 100 flights now. Everyone, 100% successful on the Atlas. Vulcan is a remarkable vehicle that ULA put together. United Launch Alliance is two companies, Lockheed and Boeing. They work together on this thing. And the first 3 flights got off the ground okay. They got the okay to fly a government project. And they only needed two flights to qualify. For some reason, New Glenn, they want them to do 4. I haven't figured out that, different rules for different people, I guess. Or I'm just not understanding it. But New Glenn is, they're going to be going for their 3rd flight. And that should be the end of March. We'll see. The flight going up on the 12th. I believe that's the U.S. Air Force satellite that's going up. But I was talking about the rocket itself. The engines are the BE-4 engines. Methane or liquid oxygen engines built by Blue Origin. So you have a couple of companies involved. ULA is Lockheed Boeing, and the engines are being supplied by Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin company. Very successful engines. 2 flights so far by New Glenn had 7 engines on each booster. So, you have 14 engines that have gone up and came back. the Vulcan, since they've gone up three times, that means six of these same engines have been used for Vulcan. But Vulcan is an expendable rocket, and so that goes in the drink along with the engines for now. They do have plans eventually of finding a way to just save the engines, you know, from the engine compartment. They're not interested in the rocket itself. So, I mean, you know, someday they will be able to reuse the those BE-4 engines. So, yeah, it's a real feather in the cap of Blue Origin to be able to do this. They've sent over dozens of these engines to ULA, because ULA is getting ready for a lot of flights with Vulcan. You know, they're going to have a lot of independent flights, scientific flights and all this, flights for the government. But one of the main ones that they're signed up with is actually for Amazon. Amazon produces all these satellites. They call them the LEO satellites, broadband satellites, similar to the, you know, to the idea of Starlink satellites with what what Elon Musk is doing. So it's going to be a competitor, and Amazon needs to put up over 3,000 satellites within like a couple of years. So they've contracted out different rocket companies to put their satellites into orbit. They've already launched some. I think there was around 180 up. They're using SpaceX, actually flew some up for them. Atlas has been flying them up on a pretty regular basis. And eventually Vulcan will be doing it. When Vulcan does it, they're going to be able to do over 40 at a time, where Atlas and, you know, SpaceX can only do around 27 at a time. So Vulcan's a much more powerful engine for delivery system for Amazon. So that's one of the providers. The other provider is themselves. New Glenn is starting to become it'll be a regular contender. They'll be doing one flight after the other as well. So they plan on launching their own LEO satellites for broadband, and they're also contracted with, I forget how many flights, with Ariane 6. Ariane 6 is the European Space Agency. They launched their heavy lift vehicle out of Kourou, South America, you know, French Guiana. And I think they have, 10 or 20 flights, lined up with them. So, there you go. Any comments? WS2M. Code ID. I'm a big CW guy. Big CW fan. Any other last comments? If not, we'll have to close down early, because I ran out of topics. We'll definitely be back next week, but let me just stand by any comments for the net.
BB2BXO.
Hi, Frank. Welcome aboard. I know I heard you before when you were talking to Roy, so how are you doing?
Yeah, doing okay. I was wondering what your take on it is, that apparently, even though Jared Isaacman, who's a SpaceX kind of guy, he spoke some SpaceX missions, seems to be going with Blue Origins, with Jeff Bezos, for the lunar lander, from a technical point of view, probably not surprising that it seems like Blue Origins' approach of getting things right the first time is more compatible with what NASA does. But given that, as I said, that Isaacman is probably not technically a SpaceX employee, but certainly SpaceX affiliated, the government would seem to be going with Blue Origins for the project, is apparently paying them enough to shut down their New Shepard operation and work entirely on the government's moon project. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. You're saying that, I thought I saw something on one of the websites talking about not launching any more space tourists up to space. Is that what you're saying? That's what I did read that. But I didn't trust the website, so can you confirm that? Back to you, Brad.
I'm not NASA PR, and I'm not Blue Origin's press representative either, for nobody, as you know. So I can't confirm it, quote-unquote, but it's been in the so-called legacy media that, New Shepard is not going to do any more of their space tourism flights and instead focus on the NASA moon missions. So it's a little interpretation on my part that they're getting a big enough contract, presumably from NASA, to make up the difference and make it profitable for them to shut down the New Shepard operation in West Texas, which, in my view, was simply a project to monetize the R&D effort. To test their BE-4 engine technology. I thought it was actually kind of clever to monetize it by giving tourist rides and on the thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree. They launched that rocket, I think, 30... Well, that system, they've used that New Shepard, 36 or 37 times? I think the last one was 38 times, for total. They would launch them without a crew, and then they would launch with a crew. And they've launched a total of 90 people into space so far. So if Jared Isaacman is telling Blue Origin, we're going to give you more money. Just, shake a leg on the HLS, the human landing system. I could see that. And I think that would be a good thing because SpaceX is falling behind and they do want to try to get a moon landing before China does it. So that would be a good thing. I thought I saw that on a website, but I didn't click on it because I didn't recognize the website. There's dozens of things that come up. That would be good. They need, about the experience that they got with that New Shepard. That was the BE-3 engine, the liquid hydrogen, liquid oxygen engine that New Glenn is now using on their second stage has two of them, so each one putting out 160 to 180,000 pounds of thrust now or something, each one. So that's what's located and then fired successfully twice on the New Glenn rocket. So New Glenn's got really three engines that they're dealing with. They have that the B-3 engine that they're going to be using for the second stage that they use for the first stage on, or first and only stage on New Shepard. But then they also use the BE-4 engine that they're using on the New Glenn rocket itself, that they use seven of them to launch twice. And also those exact same engines, like I mentioned before, they take two of them and they put them on the Vulcan rocket, and that's very successful. So the BE-3s and the BE-4s are working great. But then there's this other one, the BE-7 engine. That's going to be the one that they're going to use for human landing system. They've done plenty of tests, thousands of hours, they said, of tests with the BE-7 engine. That's again, liquid hydrogen, liquid oxygen engine, similar to the BE-3 engine. Not the BE-4. BE-4 is liquid natural gas, LNG, or very close to methane. But this new engine, the BE-7 engine that's been under development, that's the one that they're going to use for two purposes. One, as the lunar landing vehicle on a human landing system. So that's going to be able to take them all the way down to, I think, when they have people in it, they want to have three engines, bring them down to the surface. When they, do their astronauts get out, time to come back after a week or so, whatever it is, those same three engines will reignite, bring them back to lunar orbit to dock with the Orion spacecraft and come home that way. That engine has not flown yet, but by the end of this, maybe within a couple of months, two, three, 4 months maybe, they plan on launching not the crew vehicle to the moon, but a cargo vehicle called Blue Moon MK-1. They have Blue Moon MK-1 and Blue Moon MK-2. MK-1 is going to be a cargo lander that they're going to use. Once you're on the moon, you're going to need food and supplies. That will be a cargo lander, and that will, that goes up, let's say, I don't know how many months from now, but that definitely this year. That engine, the BE-7 engine, liquid hydrogen, liquid oxygen engine will land that vehicle onto the moon. Now, they have no plans on reigniting that engine again. It's a cargo vehicle. But if it works out good, they'll put three of them on, and that will be used for lunar landing. Also, that is going to be used for this fuel transfer type of system, where they need to eventually send liquid hydrogen, liquid oxygen from Earth orbit to the moon. Some kind of transport thing that's under development. I haven't seen any pictures on it yet, but there is some other kind of use for this. They're going to have to get fuel from Earth orbit to lunar orbit, and then refuel the lunar lander when it's out there. Don't forget that lunar lander is going to be also reusable. a lot of things have to happen there, but I think that one is more on the development than what, further along than what Musk has got doing. And that's only because of all the mishaps that SpaceX has had with Starship. They should have been on their way by now. That's why they got the contracts for number 3 and number 4. And Blue Origin got number 5. What you're saying, Frank, that sounds good. Artemis 5, that they have the contract for, is going to shift to Artemis 3. That would be exciting. Back to you, Frank.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Paul. Did you talk to... did you talk it back to me, Paul? My wife was asking me something here. Go ahead.
Okay, that's okay. Yeah, in brief, what you're saying is it's a possibility that human landing system, the Blue Moon MA-2, Mark II lunar lander for the crew could actually be the one that they use for the first lunar landing on Artemis 3 is actually a possibility because of the problems that SpaceX is having. And what I said is, if that's true, that would be very exciting. Back to you, Frank.
It sounds like that's what they intend to do. 60 Minutes, I think... had the show the Blue Moon Mark One. I was stacking the dishwasher and didn't get a chance to walk over to the TV and look at it. I'll probably look at one of the replays on the app. Yeah, they're doing some good old-fashioned mess of the promotion on this one. So, yeah, that's what I would think they're going to do. And when you think about it, it does make some sense because it sounds like the Blue Origin culture of getting things right the first time is a lot more compatible with the NASA culture. So it certainly makes more sense to contract with them. The only thing surprisingly on that, as I said, is that Jared Isaacman is a SpaceX kind of guy. So you would have expected him to push for SpaceX to remain the prime contractor on this. But, you know, I have no idea what's going on internally in the organizations involved. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree. He did two flights with them so far. He did Inspiration 4 four of them went up, and then eventually he went up again with a crew of four. Him and a woman from SpaceX did an EVA, not much of an EVA, but they did it, and that had nothing to do with NASA. But this guy, I don't know, maybe he is a little bit more independent, you know. They were pushing to, you know, for the last year or two, they were trying to get the Discovery shuttle moved from Smithsonian in Washington, D.C., down to Texas, down to Houston, you know, and have it as a display. And they found out it was going to, I don't know, $80 million or some ridiculous number to do this. You know, not any that's a move a shuttle that doesn't fly anymore. All the way down to, and they can't put it on top of the 747 that they used to do. Those days are over. And, you know, I read that Isaacman canceled that. Gone, you know. So, I don't know. There might be hope for him yet. You know, if he's not going to, you know, cater to people, if he's going to be independent, I like that. You know, yeah. Whoever steps up first to put our people on the moon first. It sounds great to me. As long as they don't stick their neck out. Anyway, very good, Frank. Anything else? I've run out of material, so I'll probably turn it over to Roy. Anyway, back to you, Frank.
Yeah, well, you know, it was a very long process to get him on board at NASA. Because at first the administration dumped him because he wasn't going to do what they wanted him to do. Then when they tried to cut the organization by something like a third, cut headcount like a third, and caused all kinds of chaos. There was all kinds of blowback, I guess, from contractors from the Hill, you know, because the way they get funded, the way these things typically get funded is by putting a contractor in every state. I would suspect what the straw that broke the camel's back and finally got him in there was that, you know, who decided that he really wanted to get this done before the end of this term and before China did it, and that Isaacman, he needed somebody like Isaacman who actually knows what he's doing to do that. Kind of amazing for these people to actually select someone who might know what they're doing. Anyway, and with that, I'll let you close down the net here. WB2BXO. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too, Frank. And you know, thanks for telling me about 60 Minutes. I still have cable vision here, so I always hit the record button for that. I'll be able to play that back later. Very good. And yeah, with that, we'll turn this back over to Roy. Well, you know, Limehawk has the couple of nets tomorrow. They have the info net, club info net, starting at 8:30, and that's always followed by with George with Slap and Chop, and then that's always followed by Radio Newsline. And they always have a space topic. In fact, that's where I first heard that three of the astronauts going to the moon next week, hopefully, are ham. So that's pretty good. You always get a space topic on Radio Newsline. For that, let's thank everybody that listened and participated. For now, we'll turn it over to you, Roy. AC2GS, WS2N for the Space Net Report for the TechNet.
Okay, this is AC2GS. Thank you, Paul. Thank you for the SpaceNet report. Thank you for all that you do on the technical net and all that you do, Club. We all appreciate it. And I appreciate everyone who participated tonight. I hope you'll join us next Sunday at 8 p.m. when we try and do it all over again. As is our usual practice, some good quotes from some clever people, one being our own Dick K2RIW. He would always end his technical nets with the advice to be kind to each other. And I always like to throw in good old Epictetus. It's impossible for a man to learn what he thinks he already knows. Try and keep your mind open to new ideas, but not so wide open that your brain falls out. But you're going to need it one of these days. Anyway, have a great week. Stay safe. Be well. And if you can, please come back next Sunday when we try and do this all over again. This is AC2GS formally closing this episode of the Limehawk Technical Net after I say Slava Ukraini.
Net time complete. W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. Net tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Limehawk InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Limehawk InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Limehawk InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. Good morning. The time is 5 o'clock a.m.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Mark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.